Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know my Father. I am all you need. Spirit of God would say to us, look nowhere else except in Jesus. For there is no other name given amongst heaven and earth by which you must be saved. The name Jesus Christ. He is all you need. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You need look no further. I'm the way to your healing. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way when you've lost your way. I am the truth that will set you free. And I'm the life that you've been so longing to have. My life in abundance. Look no other place except in me. For I'm willing to give you my life. I'm willing to give you my love. I've given you my name. I've given you so much. You need look no further. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord God. We are satisfied in you. Satisfied in your presence. Satisfied, Lord God. Lord, we need not add anything to you. You are the very image of the invisible God. In you dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in bodily form, Lord. Jesus, we need nothing else, Lord. When we received you, we received the best of the Father. We received all that you've got to give for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We are lacking in no good thing. Lacking in no good thing, Lord. They had healing. They had faith. They had love. They had all they needed. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have. We might not have silver and gold. You might not have silver and gold, but what you do have, you've got Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, dwelling in you. Man, that's powerful. That is awesome. He's in us, and he's living, and he's active. I want to hand over to Brad. Brad's going to be sharing the word. Amen. That was awesome. That was awesome worship. Amen.
Goeiemôre. Iemand het vir my gesê ek moet in Afrikaans vandag preek. Wie was dit? Waar is julle? Kan ek 'n amen hoor? Not really. Well, I was just giving a word in tongues there for those who could interpret it. How's everyone? You all good? Good to be with you this morning. It feels like summer, eh? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is so good that he gave us different seasons. And I'm going to pray and then we're going to get straight into the wonderful word of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for the privilege to come and worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for the church. We praise you, Jesus, for the church. That gathering of believers, O God, who sit under your word and whose lives are changed forever. Lord, the benefactors of your great, wonderful love. How could we ever repay you for your goodness towards us, O God? How could we ever repay you? But Lord, we will lift up our cups to your name. We will lift up our voices and our lips in praise and honor with hearts that are full to all that you have done. We thank you for what you've welcomed us into, for what you've welcomed us into, Lord. You've opened a door for us, and we are so grateful, Jesus. This morning I want to ask you, by the power of your Spirit, that you would come and speak into our hearts, that you would transform us. This wouldn't just be an information session, but you would do work within our hearts. Use me, please, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, of all my weaknesses and excesses. But, Lord, above all else, as your word is preached, I pray, Father God, that people will go home with that which transforms them from Monday to Saturday until, again, we sit under your glorious word. Lord, thank you that today would be like a spring of living water. And thank you that we will be refreshed as we look to your word. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are wanting to do new things for people today. Fresh new identity for people today. Lord, you're wanting to give us a new authority and responsibility. And I trust you, God, that there would be much fruit accompanying your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As a church, we've been preaching through the parables. We've been looking at the various parables of Jesus, and the parables are great because they are stories that Jesus, or pictures, or kind of illustrations that Jesus would give, and they mean something very true and very powerful. And there's a lot of spiritual truth behind the things that Jesus taught us. One of the scriptures says Jesus didn't say anything except through parables. He didn't teach anything to his disciples except through parables. So parables are powerful because they paint a picture for us that we can understand. And it's amazing because the simplest of children can understand what Jesus is saying and take it and grow and grow up in Christ with those stories. And then you've got the most learned of scholars that would still be dumbfounded by the things that Jesus says. There's so much depth and so much truth to everything that he communicates. And so we're going to look at this today. But above all else, I think there's a subtle parable in here, and you know, you're not going to find a story with a kind of translation to the story or a interpretation of the story in the scripture that we look at today. There's a small, subtle little parable within it, a little parallel that Jesus declares. But the main subject of this preach today is Him. And the parables, if the parables don't teach us about Him and don't make us fall more in love with Him, then they're useless. Amen. I mean, without Jesus, without understanding Jesus, without seeing Jesus, without knowing and loving and falling more in love with Jesus every single day, there is no church. There is no preaching. And there's certainly no word for you today. So let's look at Him and let's see what it says. In Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13 to 20, this is possibly, I've got so many favorites, and next time you hear me preach another scripture, I'm going to say, this is my favorite scripture, but this is my favorite scripture. Until I get to Ephesians 1, or Romans 8, or Jeremiah 29, or this is one of my favorite scriptures. You can make this your favorite scripture. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples not to tell that he was the Christ. There's Jesus admitting himself that he is the Christ. I was trying to think of a title for this message. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post last night. I said I'm going to preach this morning on how to get lucky. So a lot of you, maybe you come, "Hey, I want to get lucky." Who wants to get lucky? It's quite funny, eh? It's a strange, today's terms, if you think of the word get lucky, it's like you want to score with a chick or something like that. But, you know, to get lucky, or even the word luck in the scriptures, or just in past, was something a whole lot bigger than that. It's not just some luck of the draw or whatever. It was a sense of fortune. And actually the word, when Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah," he's saying, "You're lucky." He said, "You are so lucky. You have been chosen among everyone else. The Father has revealed to you a truth that flesh and blood couldn't give you, that no man on the face of the planet could give you. You are very fortunate. You've come into good fortune today. If you see and know Jesus is the Christ, and if you understood that Jesus is God, and you believe in it, you are the luckiest person on the earth." Isn't that amazing? It's not by anything that we have done that we come to realize who Jesus is. You can search all day long. You can read every book about Him. You can do whatever you like. You can go and study all the history and everything else. But unless God shows you who He is, you're not going to be that lucky. Is that good? So I'll use the scripture. So I thought, well, let me call it how to get lucky. And I thought, no, hang on, maybe that's a bit dodgy. So I thought maybe something along the lines of how to have a rock solid life and a rock solid destiny, which is pretty lucky. And so there's people seem to be born with everything going well for them, and some people don't seem to be born like that. And there's a lot of times we base our identity on just the things that God's chosen for us, isn't it? I mean, who can choose whether a person's going to be born in East London or who's going to be born in Joburg? You know, that's God's choice. Who can choose whether you're going to be black or white or red or yellow or whatever, if you're going to speak Chinese, Japanese, English, Afrikaans? You don't really choose those things. You could probably try and change it along the way. But God decides if you're man or woman, hear me? God decides if you are, what nationality, yeah, good looking like John, Nikki, whatever it is. You know, God has decided those things. You're all good looking, by the way. Okay. And so, you know, you've got these, we base a lot of identity on where we've come from and who we are. And I sometimes hear people say this about Ethan. If you don't know, I've got a little boy that we've adopted, and it's very obvious that we've adopted him because he's a Khoza little boy, and he's such a beautiful guy. I love him so much, and he's 3 years old. And sometimes when I'm chatting with builders and just more the African folk, I'll tell them about my son, and I'll show them a picture of my son, and they say, wow, but he's lucky. And I think, yeah, you know, it's kind of. I'm like, no, before I said, no, luck's got nothing to do with it because God's had a plan. God's had a purpose to put him with us, and we feel so blessed that we even get to raise such a beautiful child. And I'm sure he's blessed that he's got a beautiful mom. And then, so there's, you see what I did? And so your identity, you know, often it's like, wow, man, where you grew up and all these kind of things. So I want to look at a little bit of the history and throughout the history of Jesus and maybe Peter a little bit, because there's a lot of identity and a lot of identifying that takes place here. There are a lot of names that are given to Jesus, and there's a whole lot of renaming that takes place with Simon Peter. So let's check that out quickly. So Jesus has got all these different identities that come up within the scripture. It's what people say about him. It's what he maybe says about himself. It's what others are saying. It's what the Father is saying about him. It's important. You know, there's one thing that you cannot deny. Jesus is unusual. He's not your run-of-the-mill guy. He probably acted like one, but I mean, everywhere Jesus went, there was just power displayed and people getting saved and demons flying out and dead people being raised. Jesus is unusual. You can't put him in a list of people. Great prophets of the past. Jesus. No, wait. Doesn't fit there. Because you know what? If you take Jesus and you look at who he is and you look at his life, he's the one who's to be worshipped. You can't put him on a list of other people on the face of the planet because we don't worship other people. When people say, who do they say Jesus is? Some were saying Elijah, some were saying Jeremiah, some were saying the prophets. You never worship Elijah. You never worship Jerry and Eli and any of the prophets. Sounds like a band from the 80s. They're not worshipped. Jesus is worshipped. He's in a category all by himself. And let's look at some of the reasons why. You see, Jesus says, who do others say the Son of Man is? And this was probably his favorite title for himself. Often you would say, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve. You know, the Son of Man is going to die on a cross, but 3 days later he's going to rise again. And the Son of Man is what Jesus would refer to himself. And it's almost a humble thing, because Jesus could have come out and said, I'm God. And in many ways he did. But he kept the mystery a little bit hidden. And he said, Son of Man, he referred to himself as Son of Man. But even that was prophetic, because in Daniel and in the Old Testament, even Ezekiel, they used to talk about this mysterious person that was like the Son of Man. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, it says this, the Son of Man is given dominion. And Daniel is seeing this vision, and he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, and there came one like a Son of Man. So when Jesus was saying and talking about Son of Man, the Israelites knew that he was talking about something and someone special, because the Son of Man was the Messiah. And they also knew that the Messiah would be somebody who was human, who would be in the flesh. They just, you know, they had all the prophecies, yes, Bethlehem, all these kind of things, but they couldn't see it sometimes that Jesus was standing right in front of them. And he calls himself this. So he says, came like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, that's the Father God, he's the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. How powerful is that? I want to be in that kingdom. I want to be with that king. Hello? He's the one who never loses. He wins. He wins right the way through. I want to be in that kingdom. So they were all waiting and hoping, and the Israelites knew, man, one of ours one day is going to take over everywhere. And so they had this term, the Son of Man. So Jesus refers to himself as this. You know, Son of Man is a beautiful thing because it's God who came, the Messiah came, but he was, we know that it's God, but he was born of a woman. He came as a baby. And we look after little Bethany. She's two and she's learning to walk and she's, you know, running around and dancing on the spot. And she's, look, Daddy, look, Daddy, and she does this, you know. Like, yes, it's so good, my girl. And imagine Jesus would have needed that from Joseph and Mary. Oh, well done, my boy. He's taken his steps. Did you see that? So, oh, he just walked across a puddle. No, he was a normal boy. He was a normal person. He needed to eat. He probably would have had a nappy today. He would, all these kind of things if he was a baby in today's time. He was a normal person. The wonderful thing about this is that Jesus felt what you feel. Jesus, he knows what you're going through. The scriptures say that he suffered. He experiences everything that you've experienced. He can witness with you. He's a sympathetic high priest seated on a throne who's come and walked on the earth. He's felt the dust. He's felt the spit. He's felt the hits, the pulling of his beard. He's had it all. Jesus understands what you're going through. Don't think that your situation is so unique that no one has ever known what your pain is or your situation. And you just think, no, this is it. The only way out for me is death. I want to tell you, Jesus says, I've felt it and I know, and I've even overcome death. You can trust in me. Jesus is there. He's with you. He goes through what you've gone through. He knows. He's a wonderful Savior. The Son of Man. Such humility in him. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do everything that he did. Do you know that? It's like, oh, it's easy for Jesus. He could just do whatever he did. He was a human being. He took on flesh. Now, the Bible says this in Philippians 2. It says, all his divine attributes, he put them aside for a bit. And made himself a human and becoming like a servant. He had it all within him, but he didn't use it to his advantage. He thought, I'm going to come and be like one of them. And then it says, and when the Holy Spirit came upon him, then he was empowered. A man empowered with the Spirit. So everything that Jesus did was a man, flesh and blood, with the Spirit upon him to do the miracles and the signs and wonders and everything that he did. To teach us something, folk. That us, men and women, can walk in the same things that Jesus walked in if the same Spirit comes upon us that came upon Jesus. He was God, so he could do it all. No, he made himself a man like you and me. Do you know what that means? Do you know how much is available to you? Do you know how much of God's power and God's love and God's grace and his ability to persevere the most difficultest of circumstances ever that can come upon you? Do you know that? Do you know that you can forgive the worst of enemies for everything that they've done to you when the Spirit of God comes upon you? Because in your own flesh, you can't do it. In your own flesh, it's donar tam. Can I use that word? When somebody's done something. Yeah? Like you, retaliation is part of us. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, ooh, difference. I can forgive. I can be wronged. Just like Christ was. And not have an issue. I can say, thank you, Lord. I get to carry something of your cross. Just a little chip of the piece of the wood off the edge there. Like a little splinter. Hello? As a man, he did that for you and me. As men and women, we can do great things, folks. So some thought he was John the Baptist. Why John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist had a pretty impactful ministry. John the Baptist, it says that the revival that took place over Israel at that time was the biggest that Israel has ever had, apart from Christianity and apart from when the Spirit was poured out. But until that time, nothing, no revival had taken place as powerful during the days of John the Baptist in all of the history of Israel. So John the Baptist was a powerful man. God used him mightily to point to Jesus. And then Herod wanted to silence the voice. You know that the world today, folk, wants to silence the voice of the church. There is one agenda on the Antichrist, and the spirit of the Antichrist is to silence religion. And we get lumped in with all the false religions. Hello? The goal is to silence it and to cut it off. Herod was listening to the things that John the Baptist would say. And he was intently saying, wow, this is very interesting. There's some powerful things here. And he used to go visit John the Baptist in the prison that he put him in and hear what he had to say. But one day he decided to please his illegitimate wife, whose daughter was dancing probably in a provocative way in front of all his guests. And all the guests were like, wow, this is amazing. And he made this stupid offer to this potential daughter-in-law, provocatively dancing, saying, I'll give you whatever you want. So she went up to her mom. She said, what would you like? And she said, give me the head of John the Baptist. And so Herod had John the Baptist's head cut off. He silenced the voice of God over his life. You know that God never ever spoke another word to Herod ever again. Even when Jesus stood before Herod and Herod asked the question, are you the one? He'd already cut off the voice of God in his life. Ooh, fuck. That's a hectic place to be. Please go and bring people to Christ. Bring the word to them. We can't have people that have had the voice cut off. But there are some. They will never listen. They've decided that's it. Perhaps by the grace of God. Perhaps there's mercy. But so John the Baptist dies. But then Jesus is doing all these miracles. And so people started saying, ooh, you know, and people like to spiritualize things. I've seen a lot of spiritual stuff. Well, John the Baptist is back from the dead. He's not that Jesus is actually John the Baptist. He's back from the dead. Don't be spiritual, please. Sometimes we spiritualize a lot of things. This is a holy church. Hey, guys, if you touch the bricks, yeah. Ooh, they're holy bricks. You know what? They're made of sand and water and cement. Don't spiritualize this place. Don't spiritualize me. So, oh, the pastor, the holy pastor. Don't spiritualize me, please. The Bible. Don't put the Bible on the dust, John. It's on the floor. Come, put it. Hey. No, that's, please, man. We need to be real, folk. Jesus was a man. Jesus was with people. He hung out with people. Let's not be spiritual about Jesus. Let's not make up all these weird and wonderful things. Folk, the Bible's clear and speaks wonderful truths. There are some spiritual things that are very powerful. The Holy Spirit does do powerful things among us that we don't understand. But don't spiritualize everything. Are you okay with me? You know, when you're going through a trouble or God's doing something. Sometimes it's your own mess, man. Can I be honest? You know, when trouble comes your way, it's either the devil, but it's always the devil. It's either the devil, or it's you, hello, or God. Woo. So if we spiritualize everything, it's like, shit, I don't know what's going on. The demons are coming. But you're the one looking at porn. Blah, 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 blah. Hello? You welcoming in the dogs into your house, and they're doing all kinds of stuff around your house. You bringing in the things. And you know what, folk? When God speaks and He says, don't do this, do that, and you keep doing the wrong thing, God has it in Himself to discipline you, to help you get out of the thing that's hurting you in this life so that you can be free in the life to come. Sometimes God puts His hand heavily upon people and upon situations because their hearts need to change. And you know what we do? Oh, the devil's there, and we go to the next church. Oh, that pastor said something to me, and I don't like it. I'm going to the next one. But maybe God's wanting to do something in your heart that's going to set you free. Sometimes it is God, folk. Can I just let you think about it? Let me just suggest it, that God might be wanting to do something very deep within you, and you keep blaming the devil. All right. I'm wasting too much time over there. I'll send you Elijah. This is what Malachi 4 said. Verse 5 to 6, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day the Lord comes. So people didn't want to acknowledge that Jesus was the Lord. And they said, oh no, this is the Elijah. And in fact, still today, the Jews believe that the Messiah has not come. They still believe Jesus was like a prophet. And they're still waiting. Fuck, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is the one who's come. Jeremiah, they had all these kind of things, different. You know, then you've got this revelation that comes to Peter. And he says,
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Fuck, when you get a revelation that Jesus is not just a son of man. He's not just a person that walked on the earth. He's not just a prophet. He's not just some spiritual idea. But that He is God. That's what changes everything, folk. Jesus is very unusual. He is God. When you get a revelation that He is God, it changes everything. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that man that walked on the earth, that died on that cross, that was buried, He was raised again? Do you believe that He is God? Because if He is God, it changes everything. If He is God, it means everything He said is true. You know, one of the statements Jesus made in John 8, verse 58 to 59. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And when God revealed Himself to Moses, when Moses was like, "Lord, I don't want to go speak to the Egyptians. I want to get the Israelites out of Egypt." God said to him, "No, go." And then Moses says, "Well, who am I going to say sent me?" And then God says to him, "Say, I am. I am has sent you." And so Moses, when he goes to Pharaoh, he says, "Set my people free. Let the Israelites go from Egypt." Pharaoh says, "Who says?" And Moses says, "I am says." Jehovah, I am. Yahweh, God. So Jesus makes this declaration in red letters. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And then it says, "And then they picked up stones to stone him." Why? How can this man say that he's God? He was declaring that he's God. I mean, listen to the I am's of the scripture. I am the bread of life. Anybody hungry? Anybody needing something in their soul that's not satisfying them? You've been looking. Yeah, maybe you are hungry. You haven't had breakfast this morning. But like, I mean, there's satisfaction that comes to your heart through Jesus, the bread of life. Consume Jesus. I am the bread of life. He is every satisfaction that you need. I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. You don't know, maybe you're stuck in darkness. Maybe you're stuck under some kind of oppression or depression. Or maybe you're stuck under some kind of addiction or whatever it is. And it's just so dark to you. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world and I can set you free." Look to Him and darkness will leave you and your whole soul will be flooded with light. Look to Jesus. "I am the light of the world." When God said, "Let there be light," He was just saying who He was and there was light. He is the light. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know a situation, you don't know what's in a person's heart, you don't know what's going to happen in business, you don't know what the things are that are going around you, say, "God, Jesus, You are the light. Would You shine upon this? I want to see." And God will show you and God will reveal to you. "I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I am the vine. My Father is a gardener." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus. And it says the Christ, the anointed one. In the Old Testament, they would anoint priests and prophets and kings. They would take a whole lot of oil and pour the oil over the prophet. And then he would step into his duties as a prophet. And they would anoint a priest and he would step into his duties as a priest to bring offerings before God and hear God's voice for the people. And then they would anoint kings with all authority and they put the oil upon him. And Jesus, the Christ, Christ means anointed one. He is anointed as the prophet of all prophets. Every other prophet points to Him and what He says will happen. And then, "I'm coming again," says the Lord. He's coming again. "I will build my church," He says. He's building His church. "And it will never die because the gates of hell will not overcome it." Do you know that the church will never be snuffed out, ever? Do you know that? I've got some shares in some companies and I've been watching them lately and I'm seeing them go like this. Oh, Lord. Some of these things, maybe one day they're not going to exist anymore. But you know what? I've got a share in the kingdom of God, in the church. And I make sure that I've got a share and a part to play in everything that I do here. Because this will last forever. It will never decrease. It will only increase. It will last for eternity. I want my life to count and be added to and a part with something that will never die. Do you?
That's why it's so vital and important and wonderful to come and be here this morning, to come and listen to the word, to come and get involved, to come and do something, to let the finances that you receive on a monthly basis have a share in the kingdom. To have your energy and your blood that pumps through you and your heart and your strength and your ability to serve have a share in the kingdom. And your ability to love and care for is not just for my wife and my two kids, but to share it with the kingdom, because it'll never die. And every seed you plant in the church will grow into eternity, folk. A trip to the nations, a trip to Rwanda, to go say to somebody, do you know Jesus Christ? With a translator, helping them understand what you're saying to them in Burundian language. What do they speak there? Yes. And Kirundi. And they're saved. Is it worth the ticket? Hello? Is it worth the $1,000? The Son of the Living God. He's King of Kings as well. The Son of the Living God. Folk, we're all sons and daughters of God, but Jesus is the Son. He's the only begotten of God. Jesus being the Son, when He operated as the Son, it was literally God. Father, you know, to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God is to acknowledge that there's a Father, is to acknowledge the Trinity. Hello? And the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The Jehovah's Witnesses will not acknowledge the Trinity. It's a false religion. Islam will not acknowledge the Trinity. It's a false religion. It's a lie. Jesus is Father. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one. A mystery that can only be revealed from heaven and not explained among earth. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you, but it's revealed by my Father in heaven. Can you imagine what is happening? The Father in heaven, Jesus standing there, and the Holy Spirit working in Peter's heart and mind to see, wow, He is the Son. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit's work is to help you see Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to help you understand Jesus. Jesus said, don't go anywhere because you'll be a useless witness of me until you've received the Spirit. When the Spirit comes upon you, you receive the Spirit of God. It gives you a tangible experience of the fact that Jesus is alive and well and inside me. When you've got that, you can go out and tell the world, there is a God. He's in my heart. Do you want Him? And you can say it with conviction and with truth. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come so we can roll on the floor. Yes, roll on the floor if it's going to give you a conviction that Jesus is alive and you go out and you be a witness for Him. Is that good? You will be my witnesses and you will receive power from on high. Folk, we have to tell people about Jesus. I haven't got time to go through all the things I wanted to preach this morning because sometimes I ad lib a bit. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? I trust. You see, the amazing thing about Peter is he gets an identity of Jesus and his whole identity is changed. Because Jesus says to him, you are Simon, Bar Jonah. The Father's revealed this thing to you, but he says, and you will be Peter. And he changes his name. And he gives him a whole new identity. And Simon means one who listens. Now he's really heard the voice of God. And Bar Jonah means son of a dove. Now he's really born from above. And then Peter, he says to him, he says, you are Peter. And Peter means Petros, Petros, Peter. Petros means stone. Peter means stone. And you are Simon. It also means stone, eh? No, Peter, sorry. I'm getting confused. Peter means stone. It says, and on this rock, this bedrock, this loose stone, I'm going to build on this bedrock the church. And the church will not suffer, will not be defeated. And so, folk, he's saying to him, I'm going to make you a part of something that will last forever. You have a revelation of me. That's what's going to solidify your life. That's what's going to strengthen your life. Folk, have you ever felt like your life is on shaky sand? Before I knew Jesus, my life was being built on the sand. Every storm that came, I felt like everything was falling apart. But you can have your life built on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And to have a revelation that Jesus is God, that Jesus is powerful, that Jesus can help you through anything, that Jesus has power over death, that He gives you life. Jesus is the answer, folk. To have that, that's what solidifies your life. Your life can be shaky and wavy and all kinds of, you know, flaky. But until you see Jesus and understand who Jesus is, that's when your whole life has changed. That's when you get built onto something solid. And it says, and on this rock. And folk, people have had all these interpretations of it. Are they saying that Peter is a rock? Well, it's not exactly Peter the rock, because if the church was built on Peter the rock, we'd end up with a Catholic church like we have today, where they say the Pope is the rock of the church. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to put my trust in a person who's sinful to be a rock for my life. Hello? I'd rather put my trust in something far greater than that. But then, is it Jesus? Is Jesus the rock? Was he pointing to his own chest when he said it? Was he saying, and on this rock? Or was he talking about maybe the revelation of himself? Those are great too. And I think it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But it's not just some airy-fairy thing in the sky. Because the thing that solidifies it and makes it rock-like is the fact that Peter saw it and Peter said it. And now Peter was going to live it. That's the rock on which the church is built. It's not just, I see Jesus. No, it's I see Jesus. Jesus inside of me. That confession in my heart. How are you born again, folk? We're born again like this. When we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we see, when the Father opens our eyes and we see Jesus is God. When we see that Jesus is God and we make that confession. And our whole heart and our whole life is changed. That's the start of a rock solid movement called the Church of Jesus Christ. And every single one of you are made into living stones that are put together. As long as we have a revelation of Jesus, we are rock solid. That's how you can have a rock solid faith. That's how you can have a rock solid life. Your eyes upon Him. And there's a confession. There's a witness. There's something that comes out of your mouth. Don't just say, I believe in Jesus, but never tell anyone. Hello? Don't just say, I believe in Jesus, but you never witness to anyone. Or your life never shows it. Because that's not a rock on which I want to see the church built. Or anybody wants to see the church built. I mean, in fact, there's many, many churches that have failed. Even Peter himself. When Peter, he failed numerous times. Do you know that? He denied Christ. He was like, I'm leaving this thing. I'm going. It's over. And all the fishermen followed him. He said, that's it. And Jesus said, I'm building my church on that guy. With that revelation, I'm not going to let him go. And he goes after Peter after he's resurrected. And he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, I do. Then feed my sheep. Isn't it awesome, eh? Jesus says, I will build my church with stones like you, but it's rock solid. And Peter even eventually, at one point, Peter's racist. Peter's busy speaking to a whole lot of Gentiles and he's hanging with the Gentiles. And then a whole lot of Jews walk in and then he's like, ooh, I better not be seen with the Gentiles now. The Jews are here. And he goes and hangs out with the Jews. And even Barnabas is led astray. And Paul walks in and Paul says, what are you doing? That's what you're doing. That's not in line with the gospel. And openly in front of everyone, he rebukes him to his face. That's Peter. The rock on which we built the church. No, it's not on the man. It's on men and women who've got a revelation of Jesus Christ. Many times the church is going to fail, folk. Do you know there's many churches and many church leaders that are going to let us down 100 times? Do you know that I might let you down? Hello? But I know this. That understanding who Jesus is and a revelation of Him is something that's going to make a rock solid change in my life. And when you put your life and you and everything you've got into a revelation of who Jesus is and you work with it, fuck, that's the way the church is built. It's always been built like that. It's always been built with these ragamuffins. Huh? I'm included. Isn't it? I mean, who's perfect here? Who's like this perfectly cut, you know, stone for the church of Jesus? This is who He uses. Every one of us. This is incredible. And He'll keep using it. And may the Lord bless City Life. And may the Lord bless Grace Points. And may the Lord bless Urban Life. And every other church that's got believers who look to Jesus. Because among us here are people who don't look to Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning. Look to Him. Put your trust in Him. He will give you a rock solid life. Is the Holy Spirit revealing something to you this morning? Well, you're very lucky. You're very lucky. He wants to give you life. I don't have time to preach what I wanted to preach. Oh God. I just want you to know this, folk.
When you have the Father speaking into your heart.
JJ, you said it, eh? Is JJ here? He's probably in the mother's room.
When JJ gave his heart to Jesus, he said, the first thing that he said was this, I could hear God. He said, I've prayed all my life, but I never felt like he heard me. He said, and the minute he was born again, he said, I felt like he heard me. How wonderful is that? Fuck, the Father wants to speak to you. There's other voices though. I just want to remind you. There's other voices. We have to silence the other voices. Don't go on what the world says. Folk, can you please be careful? There's things happening in this world today that are not what God says. Abortion is murder. Can I declare that? Hello? We're the only ones who believe that. Homosexuality is sin. But God can bring freedom. We don't want to cast off anybody who operates in those things because you've also got your own sins. Hello? So they're the same. It's the same as any other sin, but Jesus wants to set free. We're going to fight some big battles in our time, I'm telling you now. That's why we've got to be hearing the voice of the Father. Because Jesus is not going to build his church with all these other funny things. He's only building one church. He's only coming back for one bride. There's a lot of things, folk. We're going to have to fight some battles. So please get your influence from God and from Him alone, from the Father. And then last but not least, I'll probably share on this next week. You know, Paul, the Lord makes this wonderful promise and he says to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Can I just quickly touch on that? This is the key to my Toyota. Right? If I give you this key, you can drive my car. If I don't give you the key, you can't drive it, right? If I give you the key and I find you walking home, I think there's something wrong with you. Hello? Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Hello? That's not something he gave to Peter. He's given it to every single one of us, folk. The keys of the kingdom. Do you know there's many keys? Because there's many doors. And you know, this door here, I don't know what's on the other side until I open it. But the keys of the kingdom of heaven means that on the other side of this door is the kingdom of heaven. And if the Lord's given me the keys of it, what should I do? I'm going to open it. Because you know what's going to happen when I open it? It would be nice if like this glory came out now. Put the light on. When you open the doors to the kingdom, folk, you know what you're doing? He's saying there's forgiveness in Jesus. This is true. And He's alive. And you can come in. All you've got to do is believe in Him that Jesus is the Son of God. And you can enter in. That's how we open the doors. But if we're not using the keys, folk, there's people that can't go in. Who's got the keys? Amen. And you know what else happens? Heaven, with healing and restoration and everything good, can come out. And you've got the keys of the kingdom. When somebody said to me here today, my back is in pain. They said to me, Asia, before the meeting started, I said, my back's in pain. You know what? I've got the key. I said, oh, sorry, my boy. Don't you want to go and check it out to the doctor, eh? I've got the key. Come now, let me pray for you now. Lord, thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what it means to use the keys, folk. Can I ask you to go and ask the Father, what kind of keys have I got? Because these keys are powerful. And these keys can open up the kingdom of God for people to go in and can open up for the kingdom of God to come out. Because there's another door, folk. Do you know that? There's the gates of hell. And the gates of hell have got dead people going through those gates forever. Hell doesn't stop. Hello. There's a false teaching that says hell will end. It doesn't. And people are going in there. And there's another door that opens up and a whole lot of demons come out. And demons come out and they harass a whole lot of people. But we've got the keys of the kingdom. We can shut the gates of death from people by giving them Jesus. And we can tell demons to get back where they belong. Go straight back to the pit of hell where you came from because we've got the keys of the kingdom. Hello? Who's got the keys of the kingdom in your marriage? Who's got the keys of the kingdom for your house? Who's got the keys of the kingdom in your finances? Who's got the keys of the kingdom for your business? I want to tell you this morning, child of God who sees Jesus as God, you have it. You've got to start to use it. If you don't use it, you're not going to get it. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is probably one of the greatest keys of all. I want to pray that God would come and pour out His Spirit upon you this morning. Is that good? Can we stand, please, folk? Lord God, I want to pray, Father, in this place that people would have a revelation of You. Lord, I pray, Father God, that You would, by the power of Your Spirit, would open up every heart in this place to see that Jesus is God. That Jesus is who He says He is. When we see who You are, Jesus, we become born again. There's a whole new life. You couldn't be more fortunate than to know that the first life you were living is over and you've got a whole new start from God. This morning a prophetic word came in our prayer meeting that God was wanting to give us like a fresh canvas. If you today have been feeling like there's so much dirt on your canvas, there's so many things that have just made like people have thrown all kinds of stuff at you, you've thrown stuff at yourself, you can't fix it, you've tried to clean it, it just stays dirty, man. I say to you today, behold Jesus, look up at Jesus and He will wash you whiter than snow. Though your sins are dark and horrid, Jesus will wash you completely clean. All you've got to do is see that He is God and believe it in your heart. Today you can say, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and I confess it with my lips. I want to pray, Father God, for us here. For those who've had a revelation of You, Jesus, Lord, would You show us the amazing responsibility of what it means to be a stone in the building of Your church. Lord, I pray for us, Lord God, that we would know that You've given us such an amazing responsibility. That Jesus, You're not walking around saving people, You're doing it through us. If we don't share Your word, we're not using the key. I want to ask You for forgiveness, Lord. We don't want to just walk around with a bunch of keys in our pockets. I pray, Father God, You would start to teach us. And this is why we go to Your word. And we ask You, please show me, Lord. How do I unlock debt in my life and get financial freedom? How do I unlock this? Lord, what am I doing in my relationships that's not right? Sleeping together before marriage, all those kind of things. It's closing doors to You. God wants to unlock a new freedom to you. In your relationships, in your health. Faith and dependence upon God and confession of His word and believing in what He says about your body can bring healing to you. His words are life to your bones. Start to confess His word. Use the key. Put it in the lock and turn it. Lord, I pray for us, Lord God, that Your Spirit would come upon us, Lord. God, I pray we'd be able to answer positively to these questions. Am I a living stone? What am I doing to build the church that lasts forever? And am I a rock? Because of the revelation of Jesus and because I live it out. Lord, I pray, Father God, for us, that by Your Spirit You would come and baptize us here afresh. Anoint us, Lord God. Your word has gone forth, but Your Spirit does the work. I pray for us, even tomorrow, we dwell on, meditate on, chew the cud, as it were. Just think about what You've been saying to us here this morning. When we look at these scriptures, there's the parable. I will build my church on this rock. On this rock. What's that rock, God? To see You, Jesus, and then to do what You want us to do, God. Give us power, I pray. I pray, Holy Spirit, You would show people what keys they've got. And I pray that doors would begin to open now. Lord, I just want to pray it. I mean, one of the keys is for me to pray over you. I pray over you that doors would open in the name of Jesus. I pray over your businesses that doors would open. I pray it would be like a springtime, like the winter is past and the summer is coming. I pray over your marriages, over your relationships, that as summer is coming, that the clouds are building and the rain is going to pour. Lord, I thank you for an abundance over every single person here. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the nations being changed through this church. I thank you, Father God, for many people being filled with the Spirit and people just stepping out and praying for the sick, being healed, oh God, doing all those things. Lord, I trust you and ask you for it in your wonderful name, Jesus. I pray there would be real power and real change and real transformation that takes place. I thank you, Lord God, that it just would be just a glorious declaration of the fact that you're alive and you are God. And this is your church. We are your church, Lord. Be exalted, Lord, in your wonderful and holy name. Thank you, God. Amen, amen. Folks, can be seated. There's a few little things we just need to do. And
if you needed your identity to be changed and you saw Jesus as the Son of the living God for the first time, please come and speak to one of us after the meeting. If you are sick and you want that identity to change, we are here available for you guys to come and we'll pray with you and for you, that you might receive that revelation. I want the deacons, if they can come forward, we're going to receive the title. God adds and he builds his church. And this couple here, Owen and Rebecca, beautiful daughter, God added them to us for a while. You know, but God has times and seasons. And I'll tell you what, the impact that you guys have had upon this local body, this church that God has added you to. But you're wondering, well, why are they up here? But it's they've let us know that they are going to be released to go to Cape Town. They are being relocated work-wise. And so this is your last Sunday with us. And I tell you, as a fellowship, as a body, as a family, we want to release you into what God has got for you. God brought you here, and they made an impact. They used the keys that God gave them. He gave them keys. And I tell you, one key that they opened and unlocked in this local fellowship was the children's ministry. From the day one, they got involved. They used the keys from day one. And we want to, as a fellowship and as a leadership, thank you for using your keys, for using what God has given you to unlock so much for us, and especially within the children's ministry. So I want the other leaders, if they can come around, we want to release you. You have served us well. You've served the Father well in this place. We want to just pray a blessing as you are released. I tell you, it's our loss. It's Cape Town's gain, eh? But God is going to continue to use you to unlock many special things in people's lives in that church. The deposit that you guys have given to us, we'll treasure. And we hope that it's just farewell, it's not goodbye. Cape Town is a short trip away, hey? But bless you and thank you. Guys, if you can just stretch out your hand, we want to... Ooh, sorry, my boy. Thank you, Lord God, that as you have blessed us with Owen and Rebecca, Lord, and this beautiful family, that, Father God, we thank you for the time that they've spent with us, Lord, and we release them now, Lord God, as they've heard you, as you have opened another door for them, Lord God, in Cape Town. We are saying, with faith, go through that door. Go into your destiny, and we pray the blessing of God as you walk with God, as you've heard him. Lord, we release them to your work in Cape Town, Father, in Jesus' name. Watch over them. Watch their going and their coming, Lord God. May you bless them abundantly. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God, Shem, today is a day of a lot of farewells. Curtis and his family, I mean, they've been a blessing in our fellowship for a long, long time. And I just want to grab my Bible. Curtis, he's also being released into a new season with God. He's actually going to Oman. Is that right? He's a maths teacher, and he is going to unlock the secrets of mathematics to those people over there. But I tell you what, he is taking more than the knowledge of mathematics. He's taken the kingdom of God into that place. And I pray, Curtis, may God use you mightily in that place to not only enlighten children's minds into the possibilities of maths, but I tell you, to bring the kingdom, to bring that revelation that Jesus Christ, Adonai, is Lord. You know, we pray for that. But I mean, it's a big move, and I know it's an emotional time, but I just want to go to... Psalm 91. I want to read this. Psalm 91. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And it's just like you've dwelt under the shelter of your parents' roof for a long time. You've been under their roof, under their shelter, but it's almost a season where God is taking you under His shelter. He's going to teach you and He's going to reveal so many things to you. You're going under a different shelter. And I know you're going into a desert place. I mean, we heard it was like 42 degrees at night. I mean, you're going to need shadow. You know, you're going to need a shady place to hide yourself. Amen. And it was like, God is saying, as you go under my shelter there, my shadow is going to cover you. You will lack no good thing. You will not, when everyone is sweltering around you and they are so no energy because of the heat, lack in their lives, man, His shadow is going to cause that you're not going to faint. You're not going to wilt away. You're going to grow from strength to strength. Curtis, we bless you and we release you. Thank you for what you, and I know this is it's a short contract, but God is going to reveal things to you. Curtis, son of Craig, man, He's got so much to reveal to you. So again, if I can call the leaders up, let's lay our hands. We believe this. We want to lay our hands upon Curtis, send him off, and just with the anointing and the abundance of God. Now, Brad, you want to pray?
Father God, thank you so much for the son in the house. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to see sons and daughters of parents who love you, Jesus, and who are grown up and are sent out into the world to start and to do the things that you've prepared in them, Lord. I thank you, Father God. Every word that his mother and father have spoken into him are going to be reminded. They're going to be like a garland around his neck, like a crown upon his head. He'll be reminded of the things that his parents have taught him, and he's going to start to walk in new things himself. Lord, I pray for the road ahead, Lord. You would bless it. You would anoint it. You would just let your favor be upon it. And thank you, Father God, for the privilege for us here. Some people don't know you, Curtis, but others do, and we know you. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to release you. We just thank God for the privilege to be able to release you into the things that He has for you. Pray just a shield about you, and may God do amazing things. We trust you, Lord, for such testimony. And Lord God, thank you for His love. Thank you for the grace upon His life to see many, many people come to know you, Jesus. This whole earth belongs to you, God. And Lord God, at no point are we far from you. At no point are we even far from each other. Lord, we're close because you keep us close. And so bless Curtis. Thank you that he would find just his heart's desires also fulfilled in wonderful ways there, Father God. And that you would surprise him at every level. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And then... and this is Jordan Elfrink. Now, you know when an identity is released, when you see people in a different light because of revelation, you begin to treat them in a different light. Now, I knew that Jordan, you know, she was dabbling in underwater hockey. You know, dabbling in. But here we have a world gold medal champion. So that is her identity now. You know, Jordan went over to Spain, and I think she's going to chat a little bit about that. But she went over to Spain and was involved in the under-19 World Championships underwater hockey. I mean, it was an amazing thing. In the final, they came against our greatest enemies, the New Zealanders. And I'm pleased to announce that you guys won. It was, what, 3-2? 3-2, and Jordan scored the first goal. Isn't that amazing? So Jordan is a gold medal winner. And you just want to tell us a little bit of a highlight of, just shortly, eh?
Of that trip. I actually brought a photo. Do you think we can put it up? It's quite an important photo, but my dad has the CD. Let me just... And can I please have the piece of paper? It's not going to be a long speech. Just like 10 pages. Kidding. I have this prayer that it's our winning prayer. So before and after every game, so we go about 2 hours before our game and warm up, and then just before we walked into this pool area, we'd all say a prayer. And when the picture comes up, you'll see how we said our prayer. So our winning prayer, we said it. My captain said it before our semi-finals, and it was meant for our semi-finals and our finals. So this is the prayer. Jesus, Father God. Thank you for always being... Okay, I should probably explain something first. We have a few positions. We have a forward, we have a pivot, and we have halfbacks, and we have fullbacks. So forwards score goals, pivot, like keeps the balance. The halfbacks try our defense, and then the fullback is like final person that the puck needs to get through. Okay, that's the picture. Okay, so that's how we prayed. We connected our thumbs in a circle, and those are all our numbers. Jesus, Father God, thank you for always being there for us, for moving us forward towards greater glory. You are the pivot in our lives. You are the balance our team requires. Without you, we are not whole. We are only halfbacks who try to take on the world. But with you, we are complete. You ensure that our team becomes fullbacks. Amen. So another thing that happened is whenever we walked in, everyone that we walked past would stand up for us and clap. We prayed before and after every game, but we forgot to pray before one game. So as we walked in, there was no one, nobody at all. And when we got in, we prayed because we remembered. So before we played our game, we remembered. And when we walked out again, it started up again. So people felt our presence. It wasn't just our loud music and our marching in two rows. It was when we forgot to pray, that presence wasn't there. And when we remembered to pray, it was there. And that's why we won.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for a witness, Lord God, not only to your abilities, but, Lord God, to your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God, that wherever Jordan goes, Lord God, that she would be a testimony to your power, Lord God, and that she would score many goals, Lord, in times to come. Bless her, Lord God, and bless her ability in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, Jordan. Amen. Yep. Chris,